As we spoke about earlier, there are thousands of protesters on the streets in different cities in Libya right now. Protesters and police clashed overnight, especially in the eastern city of Benghazi. Our partner, the BBC, reports that security forces fired into the crowd, killing at least 15 people. Funerals for those killed in fighting across Libya will be held today and could, in the end, fuel more protests. We're joined by live from Libya by Rana Jawad, the BBC's Tripoli correspondent. Rana, what exactly is happening in Benghazi today?
Well, I've just gotten off the phone with the people on the ground there, residents and those who are taking part in the protests. The protests have already begun today. They picked up in the morning. It was very quiet, they told me, because people stayed out in the street till well over 5 a.m. local time. They went home, and then the security personnel was deployed in an enormous numbers on the streets of Benghazi. Just out an hour ago, all the protesters have taken to the streets in front of the house. Witnesses say there are tens of thousands of people. They say it's unbelievable. They have never seen a crowd of this size in their lives in Benghazi on the streets. Well, they say at the moment there are no policemen surrounding them up until now. However, that the security people are all in smaller streets and larger ones not far away. And then there is a plan to march towards the hospital later on to take what is now 23 bodies, I'm told, to the graveyard.
Well, Rana, can you tell me about the character of these protests? Are they organized? Are there specific demands that they are calling for?
It doesn't seem to have been organized or led by anyone, really, because with what happened in Benghazi, obviously we know the protests started in Benghazi for the first time this week on Tuesday. There was a lull for one day, and then on Wednesday night, they began again. Thousands of people took to the streets. It started off by a dozen lawyers and judges who were protesting in front of a courthouse in Benghazi, demanding a constitution and for the judiciary to become independent. And after that, they told me, one by one, people started joining them. It seems like at the time, those who were fearful thought, well, there are other people standing there. Let's just join them. And witnesses tell me it is the acts of the police that have provoked people to make bigger demands. So there is a wide range of calls from the protesters, different ones. Some are calling for regime change. Others are simply calling for specific changes that are related to their field of work.
That is the BBC's Rana Jawad, the Tripoli correspondent, speaking to us live from Libya. Thank you very much. We want to turn now to Dirk Vandewalle, professor of government at Dartmouth College, author of A History of Modern Libya, also editor of Gaddafi's Revolution. Last in Libya in May of 2010. Is that right, Dirk?
Correct.
Can you tell us what Rana was just reporting on from Libya is very much the same sort of thing that we've heard in Bahrain, that the original demands coming from the protesters were for specific constitutional reforms. And then the aggressive actions of the police there have made some of the protesters become even more demanding, now looking for a complete regime change. Can you tell us a little bit about the people of Libya and exactly what kind of system they work under that would lead to these protests?
Well, Libyans, for all practical purposes, ever since Muammar al-Gaddafi came to power in 1969, have really been disenfranchised. And at least in principle, there is a political system present in Libya that gives people access. But in reality, this is a very tightly controlled dictatorship that is run by Colonel Gaddafi and by a very extensive set of security apparatuses. So what we're seeing for the first time is actually quite amazing, because in the past, we've never really, or Libyans never had an opportunity to come out in the street, in part because the society is so closely watched. And to see this, of course, is first of all new. But the big question here is whether or not there is really enough political energy in Libya and in light of these security apparatuses that are present to really make this spill over into the larger demand. What we've seen, what your correspondent is saying, is that there are a wide range of issues that Libyans have expressed discontent over. And those really goes back for decades, but they have never really been publicly aired. And so this is really the first time. But we shouldn't also forget that in many ways, Libya is very different from, example, what we've seen in Tunisia and in Egypt, in part because Libya doesn't really have a professional military the way those other two neighbors do. And so it relies very extensively on security apparatuses. And my hunch is that if the security apparatuses were really challenged over the next 2-3 days, that in a sense, then we may see some movement in Libya. But on the other hand, this is also a regime that is known for taking care of opponents. And
what do you mean taking care of?
Oh, making them disappear, putting them in jail for long periods of time, forcing them into exile. And so depending on what happens in the next 2-3 days or so, if the security apparatuses indeed cannot contain these demonstrations, then we may very well see a movement. And as I said, because there really is no professional military, then what really will result in Libya could be a kind of political vacuum and a chaos that could go beyond what we've seen in Tunisia and Egypt so far.
Well, Dirk, let me ask you, In Libya, what is the political will on the part of the government, do you think, to actually become more aggressive with protesters? If you're seeing tens of thousands of demonstrators, as Rana Jawad of the BBC just reported, that would require, if they were going to put down these protests, a pretty significant military action.
Yes, indeed it would. And it would mean that they would have to get most of the security apparatuses into the street. And the regime has done this before. There was unrest in Cyrenaica, in the eastern part of the country, in the 1990s, and they put it down successfully. This seems to be larger and so more problematic, I think, from the point of view of the regime at this particular point. But again, I would not rule out their ability to do so. This is a country and a leadership that has successfully contained any kind of opposition for a long period of time based on a kind of divide and rule policy that goes back and in which the regime has become skilled over the last 40 years.
That's Dirk Vandewalle, professor of government at Dartmouth College, author of A History of Modern Libya and editor of Gaddafi's Revolution. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Well, you can catch up on our coverage throughout the Middle East and even here in the United States by heading to thetakeaway.org.
So much news coming out of the Middle East. You can put your geography knowledge to the test. Go to thetakeaway.org and match the flags to the countries you think they belong to. This is not easy. Yeah, it is not easy. You probably will not get them all right, but you'll learn a thing or two in the process. I would do better at naming, doing the actual geography and putting the names in the countries.
Maps,
that I can do on the
map. I'm good with the flags, though. I used to play with my friend. I do pretty well.
You used to play with Middle
flags,
Eastern
flag
flags?
Matching. Yeah, well, flags of the world.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. I am not a nerd, and this
you
is The Takeaway.
You are so much a nerd.